troublemakers here.
Right, so.
There's the Monday, June 12th.
Okay, Madam Mayor, we are live.
Thank you very much. We all ready?
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We'll call this meeting to order. Thank you all for joining us for the regular City Council meeting of Monday, June 12th. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting or calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is open now. So our flag salute generally is done by one of our elementary school students. However, school is out, so I have asked our Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commissioner Anita Schauer if she would please lead us in the flag salute. And she graciously said yes.
Yes, good evening. Please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have a roll call?
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Councilmember Weirich.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor Bright.
I'm here. Thank you very much. City Attorney Hale, any closed session announcements?
None this evening, Mayor.
Thank you. So at this time, we will review the order of business to be conducted. If the council would.
Oh, Mayor. Just for a point of order, the moment of silence part we can do.
We skipped it.
Oh, we skipped it. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. I need all the help I can get. We know that. Okay. So, as far as the agenda review, does anyone have any questions or changes to the agenda?
No,
if
ma'am.
Not, if someone would make a motion, that would be swell.
I'll make a motion. We accept the agenda.
A second.
We have a motion and a second, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 And none opposed. Thank you very much. The first item on our agenda is our ceremonial calendar, and that is Proclamation for Pride Month. This is to be accepted by Executive Director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, Dusty Kohler-Worth, and Erica Andrade with Five Cities of Hope. And Councilmember Rushing will read that for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring June 2023 Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Queer Pride Month. Whereas the City of Grover Beach is honored to recognize Pride Month and celebrate members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community who live and work here. And whereas the city aligns with countywide and statewide initiatives and policies that advance the LGBTQ community's journey toward equality and strives to create a safe, inclusive society in which all community members are treated fairly, with dignity and respect in all settings. And whereas this is the fourth year of flying the Pride flag at Grover Beach City Hall as a symbol of support for the LGBTQ community. And whereas the City of Grover Beach takes pride in the fact that we are a vibrant, diverse community and proudly joins other communities in striving to build a stronger, better state and nation for all residents. And whereas June 2023 marks the 54th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising in New York City, the City of Grover Beach is dedicated to continuing efforts to ensure equality and respect for all. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby designate June 2023 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Queer Pride Month. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So would you, whoever would like to go first?
Okay.
Good evening. I'm actually Denise Andrade. Erica is my wife. We were two of the founding members for Five Cities Hope, which is, you know. So good evening. On behalf of Five Cities Hope, I'd like to thank the Grover Beach City Council for recognizing June as Pride Month and for flying the Pride flag in our community. We are honored to receive this proclamation. Five Cities Hope was founded in 2017 as a way to combat the lack of LGBTQ plus gatherings in South County. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we haven't been able to host Pride in South County since 2019 out of an abundance of caution, but we have intentions to make it a reality once again in the near future. On a personal note, as a new parent to an 8-week-old baby, it means a great deal for the Grover Beach City Council to continue to show their support for the LGBTQ plus community in light of the legislation being passed in our country. It's communities like this one that give hope to youth and adults alike who may be struggling with acceptance. So once again, thank you for this proclamation, and it speaks volumes about the Grover Beach community. So thank you.
Thank you, and don't go far. We're gonna do a picture. Thank you.
Awesome. Good evening, Council. My name is Dusty Collier-Worth, Executive Director for the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. Thank you for the recognition of June 2023 as Pride Month in the city of Grover Beach. I think you hit it right on in the proclamation, the two points that really make Pride what it is. It is both a celebration of the how far LGBTQ plus people have come, a recognition of their humanity, their lives, and their worth to a community. But it is also, as from the Stonewall Riots, it is still a protest to this day. It is a demand for visibility and equal rights under the law. And as was mentioned before, as we are facing unprecedented legislation in our nation that would like to make symbols that LGBTQ plus people are not just unwelcome, they also would like them to not exist at all. So anytime a proclamation this comes forward, though it can sometimes seem like such a small gesture, it is actually larger than you recognize for any of your community members that see it as the symbol that it is, that this is a welcoming and safe space for them to not only live, but to hopefully thrive. And as a recent South County resident, I am wholeheartedly in support of whatever it takes to get a South County Pride over. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I have to say that we had I had an email from a gentleman who had emailed me about something totally different, but then he emailed me again today and said that he was so pleased to see that we were flying the Pride flag and how happy he was to live in such a diverse community and welcoming city. So it does mean something to people. So thank you. All right, so shall we? Pictures? Oh, yes, I did. Thank you. And then if you just kind of mush on in here.
Mush in. You guys be tall.
Yes.
I'll try to be tall.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you all. We'll move on now to public communications. During this time, any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. Council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. I don't have any speaker slips for public communications. Is there anybody? Yes, sir, please come forward.
I'm Randall Myrick. How you doing? I have pictures of my street. Could I bring them to you?
If you wouldn't mind, you could just...
Over here?
Yes, please.
Randall. I wrote a letter to the city manager about this, too. One of my customers, a woman, she's in her 80s, slipped in the hole in the street. Naturally, I went to try to, your natural thing is to try to catch them, whatever. It took me down with her. And they, I've been doing work for them for like 27 years. They're from Tulare. And my street's terrible. Griffin Street. I mean, something has to be done about it. I mean, there's holes in it. And I was thinking if you guys took a drive yourself, you could see what I'm talking, you know, from Farrell to Highland. It's bad. And I don't even know if we're even on the list to get done. That's about it, I guess.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. We will have city manager. Is it possible to correspond with Mr. Meyer? Is that your
is Myrick?
Myrick.
Myrick.
And let him know where it is on the list. Or?
Yes, Mayor. We did receive a letter from Mr. Myrick. We were looking at it. We'll look at the claims process as well. The street is on the list. Okay. The challenge is that it is a private street that we're working through with regards to the ownership and the opportunity to step in and maintain a street that is not a truly city-owned street. So that's a work in progress. City attorney, public works director, and I are working on that, and the street is on the list for the future.
This is what I don't understand.
Thank you.
I was told it was my street. I owned it when I was in that room, in this private chamber room.
You can continue this with after the meeting, or maybe tomorrow with the staff.
Okay, just call in or something.
Or they will contact you. One or the other.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any others?
I have some printed material. Can I give it to the dais?
If you would give it to.
Jim Joffe, Grover Beach, South Grover Beach. I came to speak to you this evening about fireworks seasons about upon us. However, in South Grover Beach, it's all year long. I understand that it's a tough job for the police to try to arrest somebody because they actually have to witness them lighting the fuse. I did a little bit of research and I found the city of Long Beach has come up with a way to effectively prosecute or actually fine residents that shoot off fireworks illegally. And they sent me a press release. They've been doing this for about a year and a half. I'd like to explore to see if the city of Grover Beach can do this, and we can spread that to the other cities, including the county, if this flies. I'll just read this one paragraph. It's kind of the crux of what it's all about. Under the emergency ordinance effective immediately, any host, which includes property owners, tenants, landlords, property managers, or any person who organizes, supervises, officiates, conducts, controls, or is in otherwise in charge of the activity on a property can be held liable for any response costs associated with illegal fireworks activity taking place in or around the property. The ordinance allows fire department, law enforcement, code enforcement personnel to cite hosts without having to observe the illegal activity if sufficient evidence is provided. So I think that could go a long way in the toolbox of trying to curtail our illegal and unsafe and insane fireworks. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Anyone on the line?
No, there's no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. All right, then. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Now, I do have a speaker slip for the consent agenda for item 5. I don't know that it's going to need us to pull the item. So we have 2, 4. We have 5 items on the consent agenda. It's the minutes of the regular city council meeting Monday, May 22nd. Resolution confirming a list of street projects funded by SB1. West Grand Avenue Streetscape Project 4 through 8th Street Design Amendment. Resolution authorizing the display of specified commemorative flags. and city purpose and principles. Does anyone have any questions or need to pull any of these items? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Just a comment. No need to pull, but I did want to commend city staff on preparing this set of purposes and principles for the city. It obviously took a lot of time and focus, and it was really nice to see all of these items pulled together at one place.
I agree.
Absolutely.
But with that, I would like to make a motion to approve the...
Excuse me, Mayor. You need to do public comment
yes,
first.
Yes, I'm sorry. Getting ahead of ourselves here. David Swift, please.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. This is not a comment to pull the agenda item, but just should you choose to approve the agenda item 5 as it's written, I have brought the United States Army flag to loan the city to fly
Excellent.
On June 14th, and I would like to present that to you should that agenda item be approved as written.
Thank you. Okay, now I guess if no other public comment, seeing none. Okay, so we have a motion.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem, did you second?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
That worked out really well. Thank you very much. Okay, we now will move on to our public hearing portion of the meeting, and that is fiscal year 23-25 proposed budget and fiscal year 23-28 capital improvement program. And Administrative Services Director Purcell.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Tonight I'll be presenting the fiscal year 23-25 proposed budget. You probably all have it memorized by now. I've gone through it a few times. But we'll start out with the overall budget outlook. Looking at the current fiscal year, 22-23, our general fund is projected to end the year with a healthy surplus of $1.2 million and $6.7 million reserves. The main reason for that $1.2 million surplus is due to some CIP projects that haven't been completed. So we'll be taking the remaining budget and carrying that over to the next year so there's budget there for them to complete the projects. The proposed two-year budget for fiscal year 23-24, we're looking at a $438,000 surplus with reserves of 42%. 42% represents about 5 months of operating expenditures, and our council goal is 25%, which is about 3 months, so we're well above that reserve goal. And then looking into 24-25, we'll be needing to use some of that reserve to cover a $600,000 shortfall, bringing our reserves down to 37%, and that equates to almost 4.5 months of operating expenditures. Still above the council goal, still healthy, but I'll talk a little bit more about what's going to happen in future years later on. This budget addresses community needs in alignment with council goals, and the general fund includes a nice CIP contribution of $1.5 million in both fiscal years. I want to talk about some accomplishments this year, starting with street repairs. Over two-thirds of our local streets, or 259 blocks, have been improved through Measure K-14 funding to date. Other infrastructure improvements include new water and sewer lines, sidewalks, bike lanes, and ADA accessible corner ramps. And the city supported local businesses through Buy Local programs and small business grants. The city's continued to partnership with the Chamber on Economic Development Services, focusing on expanding tourism. And for housing, the city's implemented development code and land use element addressed homelessness with additional shelter space and a camping ordinance. And then finally, for public safety, the city has filled vacant positions for police officers and community service technicians and upgraded police technology, and is currently working on the Five Cities Fire Authority Agreement to create a two-city agency. In March, there was a council goal-setting workshop to identify council goals, and you adopted these goals for fiscal year 23-25. And then in May, you reviewed the draft work programs to implement major city goals over the next year. These major city goals include economic development, housing and homelessness, public safety, and street maintenance and complete streets. So looking at our total budget for all funds, the revenue budget is $36.2 million. And the biggest piece of the pie comes from tax revenues, which make up about $15 million or 42% of that budget. That's followed by charges for current services and the use of reserves, which is about $6.1 million. That includes the Measure K-14 bonds that were issued in prior years, and we're using those for current year projects. We have other agencies of almost $4.7 million, which makes up 13%. And I wanted to highlight what some of those items are, because a lot of them are one-time. It includes about $255,000 in PD grants. There's $925,000 in remaining ARPA funding. $1.5 million comes from a grant that's going to cover the major street rehab to West Grand from 4th to 8th Street. There's about $970,000 in gas tax. We get that yearly. $445,000 in local transportation funds. And $840,000 is one-time loan proceeds from the vehicles that we'll be leasing, a lease purchase. Looking at the all-time or the all-funds expenditures, general fund, which is our main operating fund, makes up 52%. And then we have a big investment in the capital improvement program of $10.2 million or 28% of that budget, followed by the enterprise funds, 5.6 or 16%. And then the special revenue funds make up 4% of that budget. So for fiscal year 25, again, the tax revenues make up almost half of the budget, followed by the charges for current services. That includes things like our water fees and our development impact fees, regulatory fees, permit fees, et cetera. But you see that other agency number goes down to $1.4 million. So a lot of those one-time grants and the ARPA money are not included in the fiscal year 25 budget. And then again, our expenditures, 60% make up, the general fund makes up the budget, followed by the capital improvement program, enterprise funds, and then special revenue funds. So looking just at the general fund revenue, where does the money come from? Well, you can see, we talk about this all the time. We really have our top five tax revenues. Make up, if you were to look at the five with including transient occupancy tax and franchise fees, those make up almost 80%. But I'm highlighting sales tax and property tax, cannabis tax, because those are really our main top three. Sales tax is now our number one tax revenue following the Measure F20 that was passed a couple years ago. Property tax is a very stable, consistent revenue source for us. So those are really important revenue sources. I also highlighted the ARPA as one time. That's $925,000 that we have included in fiscal year 24, but we won't be seeing that in fiscal year 25. Where does the money go? 70%, 71% go to public safety, some non-departmental and public works. The non-departmental is made up of the Five Cities Fire Authority contract, which is now $2.77 million, unfunded pension costs of $925,000, insurance of $447,000, and legal services of $226,000. You also see in the fourth line there, capital improvement plan is about 8% of our budget at almost $1.5 million. And then again, our general fund revenue for fiscal year 25, 72% of it, or $13.4 million, is made up of those top three revenue sources. If you were to add the franchise fees and the transient occupancy tax, it would be about 82%. So those five top five make up a big chunk of our general fund revenue. And general fund expenditures for fiscal year 25, same story, 13.2 million or 70%. The top three are public safety and public works. We also have some ongoing and one-time recommendations. I know I included this in our budget update, but I wanted to highlight it once again. This is just the general fund contribution. In 24, it's $290,000, and in 25, $458,000. And we've added one full-time position for a public works superintendent, which is 40% general fund. And another parks and rec, we've made the part-time into a full-time position. We have some vehicle replacements in both police and public works. We're adding six patrol vehicles and three fleet trucks. This is a lease purchase, and our first lease payment will come due in fiscal year 25. That's why that number is higher in the second year. We also have police and public works vehicle storage rental that where we keep our larger vehicles. 87% is funded by the general fund. In addition, police technology equipment, including body cameras and drones, are included. Police health and wellness program, about $20,000 of a $30,000 program is grant funded. We have the Five Cities Fire Authority. We're helping to replace the station alerting system of about $50,000. And then there's some additional organizational development and training costs. Other general fund operating budget increases include the fire service increase. I know you've heard a lot about this, so we're looking at $755,000 increase in fiscal year 24 and $836,000 in fiscal year 25. And it does include 3.5 full-time positions added. So in summary, I just wanted to highlight those last two columns. Those are our proposed budgets for fiscal year 24 and 25. You'll see that annual surplus we talked about in the first slide of $437,000 with the operating expenditures, the reserve amount there, 42%. And then in fiscal year 25, you see that we need to cover that gap of $600,000 and almost $14,000. Our reserves are going down to 37%. And if I were to show you the next 3 years, the forecast continues to show a deficit, and it continues to use our reserves. So we know that we have to do something. We know that we either have to reduce expenditures or we have to increase our revenues through some kind of a tax measure or other means. We'll be coming back to you. I know there's some ideas and some plans for that. So with that, the recommendation is to review the proposed budget and the capital improvement program and provide direction to staff to finalize the budget for adoption on June 26th or provide staff with alternate direction.
Thank you.
That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions to my right?
No questions.
To my left?
No. You covered what I had. Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any public public speaker slips. Is there anyone who cares to? Okay. Well, then I guess we'll just bring it back for comments. I'll start to my left. Well,
I can start. I just wanted to thank you very much. I just wanted to thank staff for all the work and vision that's gone into this. You know, I think the fact that we don't have any questions right now is a testament to the fact that we've been digging through this for months at a time, and the mid-year report is certainly incredibly helpful. I also did want to point out and thank staff for not only keeping in mind our current state and keeping our books balanced, but also realizing the pitfalls that we're looking forward to tackling in the future. And I know that I know that we will address them as the time is right. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any comments?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Am I right?
I'd just echo my colleagues. We appreciate the transparency and the openness of all this. I'm sure the public does also. It spells out everything, and it looks good. Hopefully we don't have to resort to a tax measure, but we got to pay the bills. So, thank you, and staff.
Yeah, and also, I do want to share my sentiments of thanking staff of breaking this down really in pieces over the previous months, too, so that we're able to, by the time we come to this decision, we're very familiar with everything, to say the least. And I do find it interesting that a lot of our, as far as when our residents and businesses and others are curious where our revenues come from, a lot of them really do come from voter-approved tax measures in the past, too. Sales tax, cannabis, other different things, too. So I think that is always something that, I hope we do recognize and stuff and understand that it's something that we share in the benefits stuff from those who are doing well, too, and also from our voters with that wisdom and insight, too, for having those measures in the past. So, and that, thank you once again.
Absolutely. Very good. Yes, thank you. I agree wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, I was telling this to our city manager the other day that back in the day, we'd get that big, huge thing, and nobody knew what to do with it. And this process has really, just really breaks down into little bites so we can. You just kind of feed it to us for over several months, and it just makes it so much easier and so much more understandable. So we really do appreciate that. And yes, unfortunately, public safety is a huge expense, but one that we must provide to our residents. So I know that we'll get that under control here in the near future. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time and you
very welcome.
Giving us baby steps.
Thank you.
Is it too late to ask one clarification point?
Sure.
So this is kind of deeper in this, and looking ahead for the projected revenue summary on one of these pages and the wastewater fund item, and maybe this comes with that Central Coast Blue. I'm on 107 in our binders. And I just noticed the wastewater fund projected revenue in kind of increases quite dramatically every year. It's kind of all over the place, really. So it goes from 23 actual was 38,000. And then estimated spending in 23 was 387, and then carryover of 1.2. So the 24 budget is 1.9 million, but then the 25 budget is only 240,000. So I'm just wondering, typo, is that what you said?
I believe, Council Member, that you're referring to what's in the capital improvement program and looking at funding coming from the wastewater fund, and that is tied to projects that are identified and programmed in a given year. So the CIP, I'll call it, does ebb and flow based on what is programmed. And so in the years where there is a high funding amount, that is when there is a project or two or more that are programmed for implementation that year, and then drops back down to a lesser amount in the future years.
Even though it's on the resume or on the projected revenue side of things.
That is the funding coming in from those funds to help support the project's implementation.
Yes,
so,
I got you.
So okay. Each so that's of those items
we're putting towards
that's
these
correct.
Particular
so wastewater
things.
Funding, water funding, general fund, a variety of different funding sources are used to then carry out the capital improvement program.
Perfect. I think that was just the one wonky number that went up and down that I didn't see addressed in your presentation, but all the rest of them were. I had a couple other earmarks that you did hit. So yeah, thank you again.
Okay. I was just going to say
I'm looking over here. Thank you.
If you start on page 139, it gives the detail of those projects for the wastewater. So you'll see not only the revenue side of it, but the expenditure side of it, too, and where the funding is coming from.
Perfect. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's see then. We're going to need, if we could get a motion. Would be a good thing.
I'll make a motion that we accept the budget.
Thank you.
As presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
A quick question.
Oh, wait.
Hey. What?
A question on the motion is, since the recommendation is to finalize, is for staff to finalize it for our next meeting versus the motion right now, it sounds like we're adopting it. As is.
Just to add a point of clarification, that we will plan to bring the budget back to you for formal adoption at the next council meeting. So this is really a chance to present the budget, to receive any questions or any changes, and not hearing any changes, then the direction that staff would receive is that we proceed
okay.
into.
So then we don't need a motion.
No motion needed for this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you anyway.
Thank you.
says roll call, so I do what I read. All right, thank you. Now we'll move on to regular business, which is Five Cities Fire Authority Joint Powers Authority Agreement, appointment of council representatives to the board, and policy direction on agreements with Oceana Community Services District. And this is City Manager Bronson.
Yes, Mayor. Good evening once again. Before the council is a series of items related to the Five Cities Fire Authority that I'll get into right now. So this follows an update to the council back in April, where we provided a number of different pieces of information, including the final report from the Baker Tilly outside consultant study. We updated the council on a draft Joint Powers Authority agreement and other items as well. All this process, as the council is aware, is tied to the withdrawal of the Oceano Community Services District from the Five Cities Fire Authority. We did bring forward, again, draft documents to the council for review, and we received support from the council to proceed into finalizing the JPA documents and finalizing the service levels for fire and emergency medical services over this next fiscal year, realizing it is a joint agreement, a joint process with our neighboring community of Arroyo Grande. What is being developed is a two-party Five Cities Fire Authority with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. What's covered tonight includes a final JPA agreement, the appointment of council representatives to the reconstituted FCFA board, and then proposed agreements with OCSD on service level provision, and then pension liabilities, where we're seeking direction from the council to inform the FCFA board's vote on that shortly. And then we'll update you on the service level recommendations for next fiscal year. And then I'll note that this is the first of two items for the new two parties for the FCFA. Tomorrow night, a similar item is being held in Arroyo Grande. So just walking through the JPA agreement first, the agreement is essentially what you saw at the end of April. So there are no substantive changes. There were some minor formatting, minor editing. There was one section that clarified the enforceability of the pension liabilities for OCSD, but nothing of substance is different beyond that in this agreement. So the governance is a four-member board of directors, two reps from each city. It can be a mayor or council member, depending on how the council wishes to appoint its reps, with a chair and vice chair and a board that meets quarterly. The executive management of the authority is vested in the two city managers. We are the management committee, reporting to the board, but ultimately overseeing the fire chief, who is still responsible for the operational management of the authority as the fire chief does today. So nothing operationally changes. This just has the city managers who serving in this executive management capacity, similar to other department directors in each of the cities. Other positions of the authority are as they are currently done today. The treasurer of the authority is in Arroyo Grande. The administrative services director, as currently done today. Secretary of legal counsel will be appointed by the board, and that would be a change. The board would be appointing a new legal counsel separate from each of the two cities, and that creates some closer alignment with the board and minimizes some of the conflicts that the attorneys have been navigating through over the last few years. And then the fire stations, the property and equipment, those are as they are today. The property, underlying property of the stations, is owned by the cities, but the buildings and what's inside the buildings is maintained by the authority, similar to a tenant landlord relationship. We own the property, we own the infrastructure, but if there are appliances or other things, then the authority is responsible for those. And then the principal office for the authority is still Station 1 in Arroyo Grande as it is today. And then for cost sharing in the budget, the funding formula is as it is today, based on population, service calls, and stations personnel. There is a clause in the agreement that allows and calls for a reevaluation every 2 years of the funding formula so that we can take a look at it. Maybe we drop it down to two different criteria. Maybe we have other criteria, but just for ease, we kept it to these three going forward for the next 2 years. And based on this, Arroyo Grande will pay 58% of FCFA costs for the next, under this new agreement, we pay 42%. And then the JPA board must adopt a budget within 30 days of the agreement going into effect, and then every year prior to April 30th to inform each respective city's budget development. And then there is language about new membership into the authority and withdrawal of members from the authority, along with the continued payment of liabilities incurred by the authority. So those provisions are still in place within the agreement. That's on the agreement side. And then with the council representatives, pending the adoption by your council, the initial action of your council would be to appoint two representatives to the FCFA board. This would be effective with the first meeting, which is already scheduled, coming up on Thursday, June 22nd at 9 a.m. There are some time-sensitive critical dates, critical actions we need the board to be able to consider. And then from there on out, your council would consider the reps as part of each of the, as part of the ongoing annual council appointment process to all the different outside bodies, boards, committees, outside groups. And then your council may elect to appoint an alternate to the board as well, in case one or both of the designated representatives are not able to make a board meeting. And then getting into the proposed agreements with OCSD, first starting off with the services agreement. This contemplates a one-year provision of fire and emergency medical service to Oceano. It continues the level of service and actually expands that based on the service level that I'll go over in a moment. The terms are for a 12-month time frame at a cost of $1.15 million, which is the current share, the maximum share that Oceano has available in their property tax revenues to pay for fire service. It would be full fire EMS service. The response would come from stations 1 and 2. Going forward, we would be using a portion of station 3 for equipment storage, but the response, the additional company, 24/7 third company, would come from stations 1 and 2, given documented deficiencies in station 3 from a service delivery standpoint. So that is operationally what we are preparing for beginning here very shortly. We would note that the payment for next fiscal year does reflect a lower share of FCFA costs that is compared to the current percentage. So it's roughly 13% of FCFA costs for next fiscal year. Currently, it's 16%. And the third amendment to the JPA is based on 20% of FCFA costs. Those are documented percentages. $1.15 million is the amount that OCSD has for the payment for next fiscal year. And that's part of the overall agreement that we have struck in concept by the three agencies and what we are prepared to implement next fiscal year. That said, there would be a higher amount that would be charged for continued ongoing service to Oceano if the county picks up this service need and is responsible for that based on the LAFCO process. That is a process we've undertaken with the county to begin those negotiations, and that amount has been given in at $2.1 million based on the Baker Tilly report and based on a three-person third company, which is the recommended capacity for that company if there was ongoing service provided to Oceano. So those are some moving parts, and those would be in fiscal year 25, so not for next fiscal year starting next month, but for the fiscal year after that. And ultimately, based on further deliberation and negotiations between the FCFA agencies and the county. And ultimately, the service agreement is to be considered by the OCSD board this Wednesday and by the FCFA board on June 22nd. The second agreement is a more technical agreement regarding liabilities. So Oceano OCSD is withdrawing from the authority, but they're still responsible for ongoing pension liabilities of employees that have worked for the authority, and will continue to work for the authority while they receive their pension from CalPERS. So this agreement really defines how that's carried out. It defines the dollar amount that is involved. It's a very technical agreement that ultimately will be brought back before the FCFA board on June 22nd. Based on the draft actuarial reports, it appears OCSD will be paying somewhere in the order of $20,000 annually for a 20 to 25 year period based on their share of the liabilities going forward. And that amount is still being worked out, but that's what it appears to be at this time. And then just lastly, just for the council's information and reference, we are proceeding with a budget for next fiscal year that adds 3.5 new positions to the FCFA. It adds a new battalion chief to provide overall unit management under the role of the fire chief, provides two new engineer positions that helps provide this 24/7 second two-person company, third company, and then an additional admin resource coming in fiscal year 25. So bottom line, there will be three 24/7 fire companies serving the FCFA area, beginning with this agreement and beginning with the new budget. And that's a service enhancement from what's being done today. Fire prevention work will be done by both the cities and FCFA. FCFA is still retaining some fire prevention work, but the cities are stepping in and doing more of the state-required work that right now FCFA is not able to do because of their limited resources. So we're stepping in under contract resources and doing that more at the city level. It is a temporary provision. We'll come back in a year, evaluate it, and see if we want to make a change and see if FCFA is in a position to take on that work more fully over the next year. Under fiscal impact, as Deanne mentioned earlier, there is a cost of $2.77 million for our contract with FCFA next fiscal year, and then $2.86 million in fiscal year 25. That is a cost of upwards of $850,000 higher than what we're paying now. As the council is aware, we've kept the contribution flat for the last 4 years, given the governance, given the opportunity for Oceano to go back to its voters on a tax measure, and we've seen the impacts from a service standpoint, staffing standpoint, equipment standpoint, and now this budget is trying to recoup our investment and increase that investment. We are able to fund this next year going forward. As Deanne mentioned, we do have some challenges, not just from fire, but from all the operating costs that we're looking at, as well as capital expenditures for our streets, our facilities, our parks. And there are some bigger picture budget items that will be coming before the council over this next year as we approach 2024. So with that, the recommendation from staff is to approve the JPA agreement for a amended and restated FCFA, appoint two representatives from the council to the FCFA board, and then provide policy direction on the two agreements with OCSD that the FCFA board will be considering on June 22nd. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions from the council, and the fire chief is also here as well in the back row, and he'd be glad to take any questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions to my right?
Sure. And these are just more for making sure everyone's on the same page on this. Is one of the things you mentioned that when it comes to the fire stations themselves, that you know, the whole landlord relationship with the FCFA, and for fire station number two, which we have, I remember when the chief had me tour it, you know, and he did explain to me as far as that, you know, how the city's responsibility is it than FCFA's. So what you're saying is basically that relationship remains the same, that improvements to the actual structure are the city side, and then all the things basically inside of it.
Yeah. That's correct. We will maintain the HVAC system, we'll maintain the floors, but if they want to add some additional features inside the building, then that is their responsibility.
Perfect. And the other part too, which you know, I know we're all doing our best as multiple agencies, and right now this proposal is the same proposal that's going to the City of Rio Grande and Oceana Community Services District 2, based off of the different ways that all the other jurisdictions have worked out to this point. Is that correct?
It is largely correct. This set of items is going to the Rio Grande City Council tomorrow, and then on Wednesday, the two agreements are going to the Oceano Community Services District. They're not asked to approve the JPA agreement, of course, but the two agreements will definitely go to them for approval, and then they'll be going to the FCFA board for approval on June 22nd.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
On the same line of Councilmember Wyrick's comment in regards to the features or items inside the property, I noticed on the slide it went by pretty quickly, so I'm not sure if I read it right correctly. The items inside belong to the association, I'm not using the right word, but it also said that we could purchase those items for them, and then they become the property of that.
I might ask the fire chief to weigh in a little more on the operational side of how equipment works. In general, the major piece of equipment, the apparatus, the fire trucks, the engines, those are the property of FCFA.
Right.
And then if we have to make major improvements to the buildings, then that's our responsibility as a city landlord.
Yeah,
inside the building, maybe the chief can elaborate further on FCFA's responsibilities inside the station.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. It is an interesting conversation. So I think, as the city manager stated, think about a commercial building landlord tenant relationship. So the building structure.
One moment.
Thank you.
Hi, Mayor and Council. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief, still. I think if you consider the fire station for a moment a commercial building with a landlord-tenant relationship, the city would be responsible for the shell of the building, the systems that provide service to the building, so HVAC, electrical, water, sewer, all of those things. If there were needs for radio equipment in the future, computer equipment in the future, putting new antennas on the roof, those will all be investments made by the fire authority. The apparatus is unique to the fire authority in that the city's cost share in the purchase of that apparatus for the authority. So did that answer your question? Or?
Well, the line on one of the slides I saw said that the city could purchase the items inside for them.
Oh, we would gladly welcome
that. Yeah, no, I understand. And then it becomes a property of the...
I think maybe we're talking about property improvements that the city would potentially fund, but ongoing maintenance, dishwashers, washing machines, things of that nature would be a Five Cities Fire Authority expenditure.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And also, so the $1.5 million is what they receive, Oceano receives in revenue from their tax.
$1.15 million, yes.
You know what I said? $1.15 million, mm-hmm. Thank you. It really costs $2.1 million. Is that what it's going to?
That is the amount that we are projecting in fiscal year 25 with the three-person third company that we believe is recommended.
Oh, that's added into there then.
That's added into that cost. That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. What I was going to ask or suggest, which I'm sure you would have thought of, was is there any way to make payments retroactive with the county when you start negotiating with them to make up the difference?
Unlikely, since the county does not have the responsibility for the service until such point that LAFCO decides on the divestiture application, which is not expected until early 2024.
24, great. Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Brunson, on the point you discussed regarding reevaluation of funding formulas, what is the process for that? Would that be coming before council or before the Five Cities Fire Authority Board? Or
that would be a process going before both bodies. It would go ultimately before the cities, because that would be a JPA agreement change, and the city councils ultimately are responsible for approving JPA amendments. And ultimately, that would be a fire board item in providing at least information, if not providing further details and asking for any actions from the fire board as well.
Okay, cool.
And I will note that we have periodically updated the funding formula. It started off with four different factors back in 2010. We then modified three different criteria in 2019, and we may continue that same level, those three different factors, or revise them as part of this review every 2 years.
Great, thank you. And secondly, with the first board meeting scheduled for the 22nd, do we already have an attorney identified?
As I understand it, the two fine city attorneys for the respective cities are discussing this right now, and there'll be some kind of shared attorney role. We face the same thing with Central Coast Blue. Until they had an attorney for the JPA, they were sharing resources amongst the three different cities for a short time period until they had their attorney.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Zimmerman, any questions?
Sure, just one. Thinking about the landlord relationship, we've been talking about who, if anybody, is playing that role with Station 3 at the moment, and is that what's that looking like going forward?
So I think that would follow the terms of the existing JPA as opposed to the one that you're considering tonight, because there are some nuances and changes. Oceana retains ownership and the responsibility of maintenance of Station 3. There is a contract for the council to consider this evening, which would require Oceano to continue to retain that relationship, although we would be likely using the station for just storage at that point.
Thanks. That's all for me.
Okay. I don't have any questions at this time. I don't have any speaker slips. Is there anyone in the audience who would care to speak to this issue? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for comments. Why don't we start? We'll break this into bits. And so the first action would be to approve the Joint Powers Authority Agreement for an amended and restated Five Cities Fire Authority. Does anyone have any additional discussion on that? If not, we can make a motion.
Yep. I'll make the motion to approve the Joint Powers Authority Agreement for an amended and restated Five Cities Fire Authority as presented.
I'll second.
Very good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Thank you. So now we'll move on to the second item. Appoint council representatives to the reconstituted Five Cities Fire Authority Board. So I'll start here. My thought was that we would maintain our current representation if Councilmember Rushing and Councilmember Weirich are.
It'd be an honor to serve, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be the city's second representative.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion regarding that issue?
No, the only question I had is, since there was that part that was the optional, may have an alternate.
Yes.
Do we want to address that at this time?
I thought we would just get this done and then we'll go to the alternate part. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys are good with that?
I am, yes.
Excellent. Okay, very good. We'll just address it right now. So we have the option to do an alternate. I think it's a good idea. I mean, it doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah, I'd be fine to fill that role.
Okay. All right, very fine. Okay, then. Well,
just need one. Just need one.
Yes, just one.
Good.
Okay. All right, then. So someone want to make a motion to that effect?
Let's see how I'll do this one. I move that we accept the appointments to the two positions and one alternate to the Five Cities Fire Authority.
I'll second it.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Thank you. So then third is to provide direction on the agreements with Oceano Community Services District. I'm not exactly sure where you want us to go from here. Do you need more direction, or?
What staff is looking for is just a general sense from the council that these agreements are meeting the council's interests and the city's interests. If the council wanted to make a motion just to solidify that direction to help inform your representatives to the FCFA board, council can do that as well.
Okay. Any discussion? Yes, sir.
And my question on that would be, it'd be a recommendation to our new representatives for this direction. That's what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Discussion to my left? No?
No.
Okay. I guess.
I don't think we need a motion, do we?
Well, I think they're saying that we can, and that would just kind of solidify so our representatives would know how to go forward.
Madam Mayor and Council, you don't have to actually approve these because these will be between Oceano and the authority. But I think what staff is looking for this evening is if you have any opinions, questions, direction, whether you're comfortable that these are, you know, meeting the objectives that you would like to see for the authority, I think is what they're looking for.
Thank you.
And okay. You can do that simply by consensus.
Okay. So I believe that they have looked out for our best interests, the best that we can and under the circumstances. Does anybody disagree?
No. You know, I think we find ourselves in the awkward situation that we are right now, but the fact that we are all here and after all the many months of work that went into this process to make sure that our region as a whole has the fire services that they need, I think this package is perfect to go forward.
Okay.
I agree.
And I think given our deadline that everything that's been worked out so far too, you know, once again, this is a whole process of stages and phases. And for this stage, I think this is in our best interest. We want to continue having our fire services, you know, serve our residents, businesses, and visitors.
Thank you.
Emergency.
Okay. Well, then I guess we have a consensus.
Agreed.
Okay.
Thank you very much, good. Council. And this marks the end of our process over the last several months. It then goes on to Aurora Grande tomorrow night, OCSD on Wednesday, the fire board on June 22nd. And with all those milestones, we will have a new FCFA providing an even higher level of service to our community. And we appreciate the council's policy leadership in helping guide us over the last fiscal year.
Well, thank you all for all your hard work and dedication to getting this finalized so that people do have the services that are necessary. Really appreciate it. Thank you. All right, then. Well, now we'll move on to public communications. Anything that is not on the agenda that anyone would care to discuss at this time? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on now to the council committee reports. I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I had a meeting with Visit SoCal, and it was a very, very well-run meeting. All the cities are heavily involved in that committee, and the main thing they do is they promote the Central Coast, and actually the real big deal they're trying to do is to get us all to say that we're from SoCal instead of Central Coast, because people say SoCal, what's that? So instead of saying that we're from the Central Coast, in the future they'd like us to say that we're from SoCal. And then when the people ask the questions, they can say, you can tell them what it is. And they do great videos and promotions on the area, and they also have a fabulous website, which I don't have it listed here, I'm sorry, but I believe it's SoCal.com is pretty simple, I believe. But it was a great meeting and very, very informative of what they're all doing to make the SoCal a destination area and not just a place to hear about, to come see and visit. That's it.
Great. Thank you. Council Member Rushing?
Thank you very much, Mayor. Today I'd like to talk briefly about SoCal meeting, which occurred last week, specifically two points that we deliberated on. Point one was they've completed the Housing and Infrastructure Plan, or HIP, so we can look forward to a presentation from SoCal, in, I believe, next month to talk about that. And that digs deeply into some of our affordable housing numbers. And honestly, it was an honor to be part of Grover Beach as part of this meeting, because everybody's like, what are all the cities doing? I'm like, our city's doing lots. We've got lots more to do, but we're a shining star for this. And secondly, the folks at SoCal are actively working to investigate interest in whether or not the citizens of SoCal County are interested in becoming a self-help county. This is an option that would be available to, I believe, 23 counties in California currently are self-help counties. And essentially, this is a mechanism that would allow for SLOCOG to leverage millions and millions of additional grants from the state, along with getting over $1 million in gas tax refunds back every year to help with our infrastructure, specifically with our roads and repair, and a chunk of which would actually come back directly to the city of Grover Beach for maintenance. So this was just a preliminary discussion, essentially, encouraging them to continue the outreach to the folks of San Luis County to see if becoming self-help is something they are interested in, and I look forward to reporting back on the process as we move forward.
Thank you. Is that it then for your reports?
It is, yes. Thank you.
Councilmember Wyrick?
Nope. Nothing at this time.
Thank you. Councilmember Zimmerman?
Nothing for me. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. I had just one meeting. It was Air Pollution Control District, and the big to-do ended up being about the hearing board candidates, and so it kind of went down a partisan line, unfortunately, but I think we were able to kind of bring it back, and so we were able to fill the board and in a positive way. So that's it for me. Now I guess we'll move on to council communications. Anyone?
Sure. It's been a few weeks, so always a few things to note as far as city-related community activities. And one thing that did come up during public comment was regulating fireworks, and the League of California Cities had a virtual roundtable on regulating fireworks. And that was one thing that they did note as far as the pathway of the social hosting, you know, ordinances and doing administrative fines versus, yes, have to visibly see someone there too. And some of the other different cities noted that, kind of like our city's capabilities, that they have drones where that's how they're able to identify people by saying it's on that property versus it's that person. And yeah, I think that obviously I'll be looking at this next 4th of July, yeah, living in South Grover Beach too, with that in mind as far as different things at work. But one thing that did also spark my mind too that came up during that roundtable was our short-term vacation rental places. Are they aware of our fireworks ordinances as they currently stand too, to make sure they keep that in consideration with the people they decide to rent it to, and also potentially let their renters know in addition as well, since those people, obviously, if they're coming here for 4th of July fun, they might be very limited if have any knowledge of our fireworks ordinance and our enforcement mechanism. So that was just something that did come to mind. But also a few other things. I attended actually later that day, the South County Chamber of Commerce had ribbon cutting for Elizabeth Head's insurance agency. She was actually previously in the northeastern part of Grover Beach and then just moved it onto Grand Avenue. So it's good that we're able to keep her, you know, business within the city. And I had the pleasure on June 1st to attend at then Nance Pre-Owned Books, our Grover Beach Police Department's Coffee with a Cop. So yes, Chief, saw a lot of your great personnel engaging our residents, community members, you know, furthering building that trust and, you know, having those stronger relationships. So it's always good to see them out there too and meet our, as you all posted on your social media, I saw too, you know, our newest, you know, trainee that's going to the academy shortly. And I then attended Grover Beach Elementary School's open house. You know, saw a lot of families, you know, and students out there too. And it was really cool to see kind of like the talent, the future talent in our city's creative minds too, in their different classrooms for their end of the year work. And the next day I was at the Grover Beach Elementary School's International Festival. And some things people don't know is that school actually has a distinction of being an international baccalaureate at IB World School, which they did over a decade ago and continue on, where it's a lot of voluntary work, but it's about having them understand intercultural aspects a lot more. So at their festival, they had a lot of performances by our local Cal Poly student clubs, such as Ballet Folklorico, Chinese line dancers, Hawaiian and Filipino dancers. So that was really cool. And then that weekend, I was at the Grover City Grange's pancake breakfast, and as always, Mayor Pro Tem Robert was cooking some good stuff for us all that a lot of our residents and myself enjoy. So thank you for your other service in that
You're
way.
Welcome.
And last week, as those who were at the Joint City Council meeting saw, I was attending that one via Zoom because I was at our California Joint Powers Insurance Authority's newly elected officials academy, which was a full day on Monday, June 5th, and then a half a day on Tuesday, June 6th. Academy, and our city is a member of that authority, and it was good to understand a lot more about how they do their self-insurance pool with us and over 120 agencies in the state. And also, even more importantly, was this whole binder of information that they gave to and their presenters, including Ken Hampion, who did our city goal workshop process. They told us many distinct activities of things city council members should consider to make sure we don't increase the city's risk, which is always super helpful for someone like me who does not want to increase our city's risk. So I'll definitely integrate those things I learned there too. And this past weekend, I joined the mayor and Mayor Pro Tem too for the South County Chamber's ribbon cutting for the now called Nan's Books and Crystals in Grover Beach, which their owner, Cassie Deeds, our city's Parks, Recreation, Beautification Commission chair. And it was actually good to see how two former businesses really work together to expand that current business too. And this morning, at 7:30 in the morning, at our Grover Beach Filipino Community Center, they had a ceremony honoring the Philippines' 125th anniversary of their independence, which is today. So I was able to attend that. They replaced both the United States of America's flag and the nation of Philippines' flag for new ones, and then raised them both up too. So if you drive by there, you will see brand new flags, no tatters and stuff, perfect condition. And I did feel that was important since we have a sister city relationship with an Arvican that we're all aware of. So that's my broader community council report.
Thank you.
I think Clint covered it all. Thank you, Clint. I would like to expand on the fireworks. I know it's too late to do anything about it this year, but I've always thought we should have stronger enforcements on that too. And since the drones have come into play, I've spoken to the Chief Peters, and they've made a big difference in catching people red-handed, if you will. But do we have a consensus possibly to discuss this sometime next year on our agendas to maybe doing something like Long Beach? Anyone would think that'd be good? We get lots of calls and lots of letters every year.
We surely do.
Yeah. I'd like to look into it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have the discussion.
Okay, sometime next year we can so we have enough time to create a new ordinance and put it in place. Also, thank you. Also, on the flags, we okayed the commemorative flags, and I was a little misunderstood about the military flags, but I'd like to see if we can get a consensus. I don't know if we need to bring this back to an agenda item or not, but to fly each military flag on its prospective birthday. I'd like to see that, not just the Army and the Marine Corps, but each one. So if we can do that, do we need to bring that on the agenda?
With council direction, we would bring that back with a resolution similar to the one the council adopted tonight.
Okay. So sometime.
Are we in agreement?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Yes,
thank
please.
You.
Including the Coast Guard, though, right?
Include Coast Guard and the
Space Force.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I think that's it. I was going to mention Nan's new store. Not new store, but new crystals, new stuff. She had purchased the all the crystals from the Halcyon store, and that's a sad day too. They are no longer in business, as many of you might know. Halcyon decided to retire, if you will, and travel across country. So they closed their store down, and KCD was able to get all the crystals, and now she has them in her store along with two cats. So watch it when you go in there. Don't let the cats out. Don't let the cat out of the bag. Okay, that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Am I left here?
The right side of the day has definitely covered it pretty well today. I kept waiting for you to mention the concert series, but
saves up for you.
Thank you very much. We're moving into week three of the summer concert series, and one of my personal favorites is this weekend, so I hope to see you all out there. Careless Whisper, 80s rock, they're an amazing show, 3 to 6 p.m., Ramona Gardens Park, this coming Sunday. Thank you.
None for me.
No? Okay, excellent. Well, yes, I don't. Thank you to all of you. I do want to say, though, I did also attend the Grover Beach Elementary graduation and exhibitions, and I was just amazed at the depth of the subject that these 11 and 12-year-old children decided to tackle. The first one I saw was anxiety, and so I asked these five young people, what made them choose that? And they said they know people, young people like themselves, who have anxiety, and so they were trying to. Anyway, just amazing all the different deep subjects that these children actually tackled was very, very incredible, and I was just amazed at this youth. I mean, between Judkins Middle School and the interviews we did there, And now the sixth graders, it's just amazing. So anyway, we don't need to fear our future generation. I don't think they're coming along pretty swell. So, all right then. City manager report and comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few quick items. First, I'd like to recognize our Administrative Services Director, Deanne Purcell, and Deputy City Manager, Kristen Erickson, along with the department directors for the great job they did on our budget document and budget process. It really is 6+ months of hard work behind the scenes, working with departments, and bringing it to fruition and what the council saw this evening. So I wanted to publicly thank the two of them for their leadership and our directors and the staff members for all the great work they did to bring a document to the council that we stand behind as staff to represent our fiscal blueprint for the next 2 years. I also want to recognize that we have a lot of road work happening across the city and work tied to future road work. So there's a lot of street rehab work going on North 6th Street, on Charles Street, on, I think, South 7th Street, and a number of other streets across the area. This is the current Measure K-14 project that's underway, and the next K-14 project is not too far away. And there is work being done by the gas company in lowering gas mains, which is always the first work that's done to make sure our gas mains are well out of the work of our asphalt shredders and the other crews that are out there. So that's taking place on a number of streets, including Saratoga and actually West Grand Avenue. So all the lane reductions that we've been seeing over the last few weeks, that is the first phase, the early advance phase of the future West Grand Avenue streetscape project that will kick off later this fall after we bring the final design to the council on June 26th and we go out for bid and bring the construction contract. The gas company is working well in advance to make sure that their gas mains are well outside of that construction boundary. So that is the first tell that we can see that the road work is coming. So I want to make sure that council is aware of that and highlight that for our public. Road work is continuing all across the city. And lastly, on the summer concerts, Councilmember Rushing spoke of them. We look forward to the continued progression of our summer concerts. 2 down, 10 to go. And I look forward to seeing folks out there this Sunday. It is Father's Day, and I am using my Father's Day prerogative to have a family gathering out there, and we're going to have a great time for the band Careless Whisper. It should be a lot of fun out there at Rona Garden Park, 3 to 6 this Sunday. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. City Attorney, any report or comments?
Nothing this evening, Mayor.
Thank you. We have no closed session. Therefore, we are adjourned. Thank you all. Appreciate you being here.